Father, we thank you that we can come round your word. It's your living word and it's truth. And Lord Jesus, you told us that it's only truth that sets us free, nothing else. It's not our intellect or anything else. We have no ability to do this, but we know that it's your word, it's your truth that sets us free. And that truth never changes. It's always remained the same, because truth doesn't have to change. It remains truth. And so we just pray that you will anoint your word this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We've been praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord Jesus. And as I was sitting down there and I was doing it, I thought, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? And it's because we've received something from him, isn't it? Yes. That's the simple truth. We've been praising and worshiping God for the salvation that he's given to us. He has accomplished something through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but I've been noticing all the songs that we've been singing. And the range, if I was to speak on every subject that those songs brought up this morning, we'd be here for a few hours. Every part of the Christian life was mentioned. The birth, the death, the life of Jesus, the resurrection, the second coming. You mention it, we sang about it this morning. In other words, the whole gamut of the Christian faith was mentioned in the songs this morning. Now, if you were to go out and ask a person, what is Christianity? You get a whole range of different ideas, a whole range of what people think Christianity is and what the Christian faith is all about. Now, every Christian preacher has a responsibility to present and explain the gospel to the best of their ability. As I study the Bible, I'm constantly wanting to understand the gospel more clearly so that I can explain it to anybody that I have the opportunity to do so. And they can ask me any questions, and I need to be in a place to be able to explain the gospel as clearly as I can to the best of my ability. Every preacher has that responsibility. I would go so far as to say that every Christian has that responsibility. Every Christian has the responsibility of communicating the gospel to those that are unsaved. Now, you know that no one becomes a Christian by chance. Absolutely impossible. You don't wake up one morning and find out, my word, I'm a Christian. It doesn't happen. We're not born into a Christian. We're not born into Christianity when we come into this world. We're not Christians because our parents were, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No one becomes a Christian by chance. Something has to happen to them to bring about the Christian faith. Now, when it means about presenting the gospel and explaining the gospel, the Apostle Paul felt that this was extremely important. Probably the greatest Christian preacher of all, the great apostle. And yet he asks for prayer on two occasions I've got down here. In Ephesians 6:19, listen to this. He says, pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. It needs to be explained. It's a mystery. One translation says, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan concerning the good news that is for everyone. The gospel just simply means good news. It's good news for everyone. In Colossians 4 and 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too. He says, pray for me, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. He was writing this when he was in prison. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards unbelievers or outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We need to be able to answer questions concerning our Christian faith. It's not good enough to just say, oh, you've just got to believe, etc. You've got to give reasons. That's why the Apostle Peter, in his first letter, says this: in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. See, that's one of the mysteries of the gospel. I don't intend to touch that this morning, is that Christ was God in the flesh. The Trinity is explicitly taught in the Scriptures. The Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He was manifest in the flesh. Jesus was God in the flesh. And he says this: set Jesus Christ apart as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You never get anywhere by pushing the gospel down someone's throat. You've got to explain. You've got to give them reasons. They've got to understand. You get saved because you understand what you're doing and when you make a decision. The Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16 says this: I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To everyone who believes. We've just been celebrating the birth of Jesus. And there's an awful lot of people haven't got a clue what Christmas is all about, isn't it? I understand some were saying, these Christians, they get into Christmas now. Many people don't understand what Christmas is all about. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God becoming flesh. That is why the Apostle John, writing many years after Jesus had died, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 he says, and the Word, by the way, this Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We touched him, we experienced him, we walked with him. He tells us that in his first epistle. So we're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But why? See, I want to explain part of the gospel. As I said, if we had to touch every part, I'd be here for a long time. But I want to touch parts of it this morning, because we need to be able to explain to people, and this will answer some questions. Jesus himself gives us, as it were, in very small sentence, his purpose, because he says, the Son of Man, speaking of himself, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We sang about it, about the lost. The Son of Man, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. What do you mean lost? What is this lost all about? Everybody born into this world is lost. You're lost. I'm lost. Everybody, every human being born into this world is lost. Everyone, if I can put it in biblical terms, is a sinner. There's something drastically wrong with your human nature that you were born with. I've explained on numbers of occasions in the context of other messages, you don't have, children are born in sin. We are born in sin. You don't teach a child to do wrong. It's already there. In their heart, right from the moment they're born. Selfishness, greed, all of that is inbuilt into our human natures, and we're born with those things. We don't have to learn them. You have to teach children to do the right thing, not the wrong. So everyone is a sinner. The question I get is, where did evil come from? It's in the world, isn't it? No one is going to doubt that. The evil that is present in our world today horrifies us, doesn't it? All that's going on, it horrifies us. You listen to the news on the television, and it's horrifying. Now, the Apostle Paul explains this very simply in Romans. He says in verse 12 of chapter 5, when Adam sinned, it goes back to Genesis, Adam and Eve. They were created perfect. They rebelled against God and they disobeyed him. And because of that, they were separated from him. And all their problems began. All humanity's problems began when Adam and Eve rebelled and disobeyed God. And they were separated from him. They were cut off from his presence. And Paul says, when Adam sinned, sin entered into the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone has sinned. That is why we're dying. The Bible very simply says the wages of sin is death. That's why you're guaranteed to die. It's the only guarantee that we've got, which is 100% in life, is the fact that we will die. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And so Adam and Eve lost contact with God, and all humanity's troubles began. Now, I think I could safely say that all of you would agree with me when we say that there is something drastically wrong with our human natures that we were born with. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I can look back on in my life and I feel thoroughly ashamed of them. My behavior, my attitude, things that I've said, things that I've done, and I think, oh my goodness, where did that come from? And I have been thoroughly ashamed of some of my behavior and attitude, simply because there's something drastically wrong with the nature that we were born with. We have no relationship with God. And the Bible simply calls that sin. And it separates us from God. Now, the whole history of mankind proves this to me. We look back over the thousands of years of human history, and human nature is no better now than it has ever been in the running centuries down through time. Wealth, education, science, you name it, medical, all of these things, they make lives easier for us, but they have not changed or improved human nature one iota. Man's behavior today is just as barbaric as it was thousands of years ago. And don't let's lift up, you know, our country and say, oh, Britain, etc., Christian, not a Christian country. The behavior in our country in past centuries is anything to be proud of. The abominable things that have been done. Inhumanity, man's inhumanity to man. And it's constantly with us down through the running centuries, and it's present today, isn't it? You just got to look at the news. Look what is happening in the world around us. It's terrible, isn't it? A little aside, I was just interested to know, because I read that there was about 6,000 suicides in our country this year. 6,000 people decided that it wasn't worth living and they took their lives. They had no motivation to carry on living. And those are only the ones that succeed. And then I just, out of curiosity, I Googled it. You can Google this. And I found out the suicide rates in all the countries of the world. We're not the top. The biggest one, I think, is Lithuania. Percentage of population, there are more suicides there than any other country in the world. Second is Russia. There's twice as many suicides, percentage of population, in France than what there is in this country. Germany's suicide is higher than our country. But there's a lot of countries that are less than us. Japan, the suicides amongst young people is alarming them. Japan's suicide rate is incredible. And yet that's one of the most advanced countries in the world. education, wealth, and all these things doesn't stop this, does it? It's there. Depression. You can go on. And I could paint the picture. Look at the greed, jealousy, envy, hatred, and all the evils that are present today. And the truth is, man cannot save himself. Man cannot change himself. It's impossible for us to change the natures that we were born with. Only God can make Christians out of sinners. Only God. Only God. I want to tell you that. Only God can do it. We have failed. And history shows this. It's no good telling people what they should do. They can all say, yes, that's what we should do, but they don't do it, do they? You can educate people and say, this is what you, how you should live, this is what you should do, but they don't do it. I'll come on to something about that in a minute. See, the gospel is good news. It's God's work in us when we allow him to do it. That's our choice. That is why whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't, you won't be saved. And you go through life and you end up under God's judgment. You see, Christianity is something that God does to us. Not what we do. It's something that God does to us. Every other religion in the world, bar none, every other religion in the world asks their followers to keep rules and regulations that enable them to receive the reward that is at the end of it. You can say Islam, Buddhists, you name it, all of them. They have rules and regulations that you're to follow, and then you receive the reward at the end. Every religion in the world. Christianity is the only religion in the world where we have to ask and allow God to do something in us first. That's the difference. Something has to happen to us first to make us Christians. We were born into this world as sinners. David says that, in sin, my mother conceived me. He was born in sin. And something has to happen to us to be forgiven that sin and delivered from that sin. This is God's work, and it's only God's work. Let me take you to probably the most well-known verse of Scripture in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he does not believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's why Jesus said to Thomas, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through me. You see, Christianity is something that God does for us, first and foremost. Now, as a Christian, I've been given a new nature. I can't touch on everything. If there's anything that puzzles you, you can come and ask me afterwards. But we're given a new nature. The moment that we are given a new nature, that's what Jesus says is being born again. We're given a new nature. That new nature then has to develop and grow. That is why we're told about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, faithfulness, self-control. Those are all wonderful qualities. Why don't people live in them? Because they don't have the power to do that. But the moment we become Christians and we're born again, as Jesus said, then we're given power from the Holy Spirit to be able to grow in these things. And notice, the Bible calls those the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that has to grow in us. Fruit grows. We don't have these qualities in abundance at the beginning of our Christian life. We should be growing in those incredible qualities as we grow and mature in the Christian life. Let me come back. Christianity is God doing something to us. He gives us a new nature through the Lord Jesus Christ, a new life. That is why at the end of the Gospel of John, he says this, these things are written. He says, I've been writing these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. People outside of Christ are not living in life. They have a life, but many of them are miserable. Why do they have to go to drugs and all the things, drink and drugs and all the rest, to buoy up their lives? Why are so many people committing suicide? Why is there so many breakdowns in society? Why is there mental disease all around? Why is it all happening? Simply because they're looking for answers. They're looking for peace. They're looking for something that is going to give them a joy. And that can only be found in God. Now, I say it again, nobody can make themselves a Christian. You do not make yourself a Christian. That's God's work and his work only. The gospel is good news. And to the Christian, it's the best news they could ever receive in their life. I want to tell you, the greatest and the best thing that has happened to me through the whole of my life is the fact I was born again and I became a Christian. It's that the greatest thing that has ever happened, the most important thing that has ever happened in my life. And if it's not the most important thing that's happened in your life, I want to tell you, you're not saved. It's the most important thing that can happen in anybody's life. Now let me explain what I mean by this. You know that in the Old Testament, that's for another message. But the Old Testament, it has the commands of God, the Ten Commandments. Now you read the Ten Commandments, and if we could all live by those Ten Commandments, it would be a wonderful society, wouldn't it? A wonderful society, if we could live by those Ten Commandments. But we break the things, don't we? Every one of you has broken some of the Ten Commandments. Every time you read the Ten Commandments, you say, oh my word, I did that. I've done that. I've done that. I've done that. The commandments were given by God to Moses. The law, they were called. And I want to tell you something. The commandments were not good news. Are you listening? The commandments were not good news. In actual fact, the commandments were bad news. They were telling us what we should not do, isn't it? You don't do this and you don't do that. You don't do that. And we're saying, oh my word, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. The commandments are bad news. Because the moment you read the Ten Commandments, they condemn you. They've got no emotions, no feelings, but you're condemned. Everybody is condemned by the commandments. It's impossible for the commandments to save me. It's impossible for the commandments to save you. Absolutely impossible. All they do is they condemn you. Now, Paul explains this in Romans 7:7, when he said the law of God, it's not bad in itself. It's good, but it's bad news for us. Because he says, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful or wrong? No. Of course not. In fact, it was the law, the commandments, that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if it hadn't have been for the commandments. You must not covet. Now I come to the Lord. The Lord Jesus, he said, I have come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. We're all lost. He is the perfect Son of God. He was without sin, the Bible tells us. He never had to apologize for anything that he did. Jesus could read the Ten Commandments of God and feel no condemnation at all. He's the only one who could. And that is why God the Father was able to say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He couldn't say that of anybody else. Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness. Some people laugh when we talk about, I believe in Satan. He doesn't want people to know that he's around. That's the last thing he wants. He doesn't want people in the world to believe that they're under the domination and the control of Satan. But Jesus confronted Satan, and he defeated him. Because Satan, he said, Satan, the ruler of this world, has no power over me. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. The whole life of Jesus displayed his power over sin. He never had to ask forgiveness for anything. We are told in Hebrews 4 that he was tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he did not sin. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered once for our sins, the just, the perfect one, for the unjust, the imperfect ones, us, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive by the Holy Spirit. He was raised from the dead. And that's the proof that he was sinless. Now, in concluding the message, because I said I can't touch on every aspect of the gospel, I'd be here for a long time. But I want to address a question that many people ask. And I've been asked it. And we need to know how to answer it. And the question is this: if God is a God of love, because we all say God loves you, he's a God of love. And immediately I've been asked many times, and I've heard this question time and time and time again. If God is a God of love, why does he not just forgive everyone and give us eternal life? Why doesn't he just forgive us? Now, there are people that believe that today. There are people that believe that every human being is going to be saved because God is a God of love. It's called universalism. And there are people who teach that. You can Google it. It's on there. Everybody is going to be saved. That includes Hitler. That includes all the people that have committed in terrible atrocities. They say everybody, it's universalism. Everybody in some way is going to be saved. Now, this is the question, and the only way I answer this is this way. Why are we asking God to forgive sin and wrongdoing when no country in the world practices it? Why am I asking God to do something? Why are people asking God to do something that they won't do themselves? Let me explain what I mean. Every country in the world has rules and regulations, don't they? They have some method of government. They have some bodies of government, parliament, whatever you want to call it, and they pass laws. Our country is run by what? Laws. If you said tomorrow, let's forget about the laws, it doesn't matter about the law, we don't have to do it, the country would be in chaos, wouldn't it? But the law is there to what? To protect. That's what the law. And if you break the law, if you break the law, well, why doesn't the judge just forgive you? Doesn't matter. He'll forgive you. He's a God of love. He's loving. Why don't they just forgive? If we break the law and people break the law in their lands, they expect punishment. They expect consequences for breaking the law. Because they've got to keep the law. And every country in the world practices this in some way or another. They might have different laws. Everybody has a conscience and they know what is right and wrong. And when the law is broken, there are consequences for it. And I have yet to know of a judge in this land or any other that will say, when you say, by the way, I'm sorry that I did that, my lord or your honor, whatever. I'm sorry that I did that. But I won't do it again. And you could be sincere. But is he going to say, I believe you, so I tell you what, I'll let you off this time. But don't do it again. No, no, no. The law demands punishment. The law demands consequence. There are consequences for breaking the law. There are consequences for breaking God's law. And that is why God cannot forgive until sin is dealt with. But he, because he loves us so much, has provided the means. That is why he alone can save us. He sent his Son into the world to deal with our sin. Jesus took the punishment that we deserve, and we're dying, that's why we're dying. He took that punishment upon himself. He died, the scripture says, that we might live. And that is what the Christian gospel is all about. Jesus took my punishment upon himself. He took your punishment upon himself. That scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. You can't work for this. The gift of God, you receive it by faith. The gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Now that believe there really means that you've committed your heart and life to him. It's not superficial. This is not some kind of mamby-pamby thing. This is commitment of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the most important person. That is why he says that if you love me more than anybody else, when we are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us the new life. And that new life then is worked out. That's the evidence of the life that he has given. So we will do things right and behave in the right way because he has given us a life that enables us to do that. But we can't do that before we have received the life that only he can give. You see, the gospel is good news. It's good news. If it is not the best news to you, as I said, you're not saved. It's good news. And when we receive that life, it's a life that is abundant life. It gives us a peace, a joy, a love. It gives us the incredible qualities that we all know and we can all witness to that are good and the way that we want to live. But the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit work this out in our lives. And there's a wonderful little verse in Philippians, and it says this, that what God has started in you, you'll complete. You'll bring it to fruition. I love that. God is going to complete the work that he starts in you when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me tell you, if you don't, you have a choice. And as I said, no one becomes a Christian by chance. Absolutely impossible. You have to confess your sin. You have to realize that you're a sinner. And you say, Lord, I am a sinner. I know that there's something drastically wrong with my nature. I know that Jesus is the only one who can forgive me. And I accept that incredible work that he did at the cross of Calvary to forgive me my sin. And I confess that. And the moment we do that with sincerity, God says, you're forgiven. And then he gives us a new life through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to work out the Christian life. And then we grow in the Christian life as such. That is what Christianity is about. So I've touched on some aspects of it this morning. But as I said, there are other aspects. And if there is anything that puzzles you, then just come and ask me. Father, we just thank you for the incredible news of the gospel. It's good news. When Jesus was born, the angel came and said, this is good news. It's good news. It was joyful news. Simply because a Savior had come into the world. Salvation had come into the world. And Lord, I just pray that every youngster, as soon as they come to a knowledge of understanding, that they will know that there's something wrong. I said, you don't have to teach a child to do what is wrong. They already know it. They can be cunning. They can do a lot of things. But the only way that their lives can be changed is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into their lives. Father, we just thank you for this incredible gift that you are prepared to give to those that choose to accept you. And whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.